Hi, pal. Welcome to I've Got Your Back, the podcast. My name is Michelle Sutherland, and this is a place where I want to empower and inspire you to tap into the deepest desires of your heart and discover the magic within. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode on I've Got Your Back, the podcast. I am honestly so honored, so excited, so pumped for this episode because this woman I met 2 years ago at a random B Corp retreat in Italy, and I was just taken by this woman and I love her to bits, and I love the company that she's a part of. So we have Jane Sterland with us. Hello, Jane.
Hello, Michelle. Lovely to be with you.
Oh, it's so good to have you here. And the reason I asked Jane on is because the more that I found out about Jane, not only as a person, but also leading Willida in the UK, I just thought it was so good to talk about this company because I had never heard of Willida. I feel a bit like, oh my God, how did I not know about Willida? Because then when I found out the impact and the size of Willida and actually what Willida stands for in the whole philosophy and history, it blew my mind. So I was a bit shocked. So if you're like me and you've never heard of Willida, this is going to be an amazing conversation for you to tune into. So I thought I'd just start by sharing how we met. Jane and I were at a Be For Good Leader Summit, which you would have heard in other episodes me talking about that in Italy 2 years ago. And it was funny because I was speaking to lots of other people and everyone kept saying, have you met Jane from Willida? Have you met Jane from Willida? And I was like, no. Like, and there's about 2,000 people at this conference, but everyone kept saying, have you met Jane from Willida? And then it wasn't until the conference was finished, the summit was finished, and then we ended up going to this extra part that not everybody went to, but maybe, I don't know, 50, 60 people. We went to a retreat afterwards, which was it Assisi? We're in Assisi. So it was like an added extra. And then the minute I sat down for the first lunch, who's right across from me? Jane from Willida. So the universe was bringing us together. And that's how we met. So Jane, I would just love for you to share who you are, a bit of background about you, just anything you want to share for people that don't know you.
Yeah, I remember that day. It was beautiful, wasn't it? And you were just there in front of me and we didn't stop talking. But like the rest of the time,
it was amazing.
So where do I begin? So I'm a mum. Mm-hmm. I've got two almost grown-up boys. I don't say ever really will be grown up, but they are the reason that I ended up here. So my background is marketing, communications, and design. Started out as a designer, working in textiles and fashion, and did that for about 15 years. Ending up being a global brand manager, and it was kind of my world. But everything was fast. We were doing collections. I mean, collections got faster and faster. So from two seasons to four seasons to literally every 6 weeks. And a lot of the things that we were doing, just, you know, in your 20s, it was fantastic. Lots of travel and very glamorous and shows and so on.
Yeah.
And then going into my 30s, it was like, why are we really doing this? Why are we constantly reinventing ourselves? And I read a statistic then, which I'm sure has changed. You know, a Westerner would have about 7 years worth of clothes in their wardrobe. They don't really need to buy anymore. And I'm sure that's gone up since.
Yeah.
And I was like, gosh, what, you know, what's my purpose? It's a fabulous life, but actually, am I making a difference? And that was the kind of the start. So I had my first son, and that was a real game changer for me because I just thought I could carry on. I could have it all.
You know,
I'm an 80s girl. I could have it all. And then realized very quickly that I couldn't. And I didn't want to have it all. And there was one instance where we were doing a big show in London, and Joel had been rushed into hospital as a precautionary measure, and I had to go. My husband didn't call me until he thought I was on the train. I was actually stuck on the Euston bypass in a taxi. And I sat up all night thinking, what on earth am I doing? So that was really my epiphany, Michelle. And So I really thought about it. I had created a plan. And then when my second son, Johnny, arrived, and he's now 17, I knew that I had to leave. I couldn't stay. It wasn't right. So I had a couple of years, or probably 18 months, actually looking after the boys and just kind of freeing myself. I think we're all so busy all the time.
Yeah.
We're on this thing called life. It's amazing. But actually just giving yourself a little bit of breathing space, the pause. Yeah. Yeah. Things come to you. And Walida came to me. Walida came to me in three or four ways. And eventually the universe gave me a massive nudge. Mm-hmm. And I'm here, and I've been here for 16 years, and I absolutely love it. And just to say, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about what Walida is, but it felt like I'd come home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd just like to touch on that. This wasn't planned. These episodes never are, really. Like, being a mum, I honestly have so many conversations with women that have guilt and shame around being a mum and being that mother figure and allowing that space to be in that space. So I'm so glad you said that. And actually, when you were in that space, you were able to even reflect a little bit to say, right, well, what is my next move? How can I make a difference? And, you know, perhaps being in that mother energy in that place actually gives you that, you know, it gives you that
totally.
I just thought I'd share that because I have so many conversations with women around this,
and I also think becoming a mom, so we live in a patriarchy, it's the truth.
Yeah.
And it is getting better. This is quite different. It is getting better in terms of how companies are run, but it's a very masculine environment. And again, we'll talk about it. I don't find that in the B Corp movement at all. But in conventional business, you know, it really is a patriarchy. So you pick up a lot of cues, and you think, this is how I should behave.
Yeah.
And then when you become a mom, you have to change, because otherwise, there's a massive guilt burden. And, you know, there's a guilt burden about being a mum right from the get-go anyway, because, do you breastfeed? Am I doing the right thing? It's all of this. We're not kind to ourselves. So what I've found at Walida is a different way of being and a different way of running a company, much more about the feminine leadership. So not necessarily about women particularly, but just about creativity and working together and having a collective voice, and much more about community, and not just internally as well, but also through our supply chain. So I guess I'll tell you a little bit about what we do.
And tell us, and maybe just start from the, before you get into that, start from the beginning, even the name Walida, like who founded Walida 100 years ago? This blows my mind, like 100 years ago, any organization that lasts 100 years, I just believe have a strong mission and purpose and such strong values. So I would love to know, like, where it began. Give us a little bit about that.
So we're quite unique. But I think despite being unique and being a pathfinder, there's many things that we can share in the world. Mm. And that's one of the reasons that I'm so happy that we're part of B Corp, because this is a story that needs to be told. So we were founded by two people, a philosopher and a doctor. And that might give you a little bit of a clue about what we do. We were founded in 1921 in a private hospital in a small village called Arlesheim in Switzerland. And that hospital was founded by Dr. Ita Wegmann. And she qualified as a medical doctor in Switzerland, but wasn't allowed to be employed. So she founded a hospital and employed female doctors.
Wow. It's
just so amazing.
Goosebumps.
I know. And she was inspired to become a doctor through listening to some of Rudolf Steiner's philosophy. He gave many, many lectures. So he's an amazing guy, born in 1861, I think. He was originally from Austria, but then he moved to Switzerland because he didn't really fit into what was happening in Germany at the time. and found a lot more freedom in Switzerland for his lectures, which were on things like education. So talking about how we learn, how we grow and how we learn as human beings, talking about farming and how we should work in harmony with the land. So effectively, he's the grandfather of the organic farming movement. He had very strong views on architecture, on economics, on how communities can be together. And he also gave a series of lectures to on health and what health is and the absence of wellness or the absence of illness to medical doctors. And he founded this whole kind of philosophy, which has the name Anthroposophy, which is Greek for, you know, it's an understanding of mankind. That's the founding. Walida actually came out of the hospital because we were the pharmacy. So Steiner and Beckman would look at a particular ailment. So for example, cancer, and Steiner would have an insight into what medicinal herb or plant could help that particular as a remedy. The very first remedy they worked on was mistletoe for cancer, which is now it's a complementary treatment that you have alongside your chemotherapy. It's widely used. It's available. It's not woo-woo at all. It's found by science. These are the kind of, this is the work they did together, but to make the medicines, they needed a pharmacy. And so they founded a pharmacy, and a brilliant chemist joined them called Oshka Schmiedel. And the three of them really collectively founded Walida. And, you know, eventually we moved out of that small pharmacy. And today we employ 2,500 people globally. We're not a mega pharmaceutical or beauty company, but we still turn over under half a billion euro. And we're active in over 50 countries. And there are 19 subsidiaries. I'm country manager for the UK and Ireland. We have a subsidiary in the UK that's actually been here since 1925.
Wow, that's
unbelievable,
isn't it? I didn't realize it was so close to when it was founded.
So we were effectively incorporated in 1921, so that if you like solidified all of the work that had gone on before. And very quickly after that, there was a Walida opened in Germany. There was a Walida opened in, I think the next one was in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, then the UK, then in Czechia, and then in America. So yeah, it's quite incredible how at the time, and Steiner's view was very much, these are gifts from nature for our health, and we need to share them. They need to be liberated. We have these recipes that can really help, and every Walida product, and this is really true today, should be available for all. So, you know, price shouldn't be a barrier. So actually, one of the reasons I absolutely adore the company, I adore it on many levels, but I shall just pick this one to talk about, is the power of our ingredients and the quality of our ingredients. So we farm biodynamically, which is this kind of super organic system. So it's a holistic farming system, which is like, it's like super organic. And over 80% of all our plant-based ingredients come from either organic or biodynamic farming. And we're always looking for the strength in the active pharmaceuticals. That's the magic. The way the plant's been grown, and also the way the plant material is treated. We have very special techniques, macerations, being kept at body temperature, all sorts of things that we do to really get those very active, high actives. We use fresh plants for a start. We don't dry them because, again, we're really trying to get that the essence of the plant into the product. And today we make pharmaceuticals and we make an awful lot of cosmetics. So skin food, for example, is really famous.
It's good. That's the most globally. Famous.
And we also have a fantastic baby range, but you know, we make over 250 all different types of products that people can use every day, because it's this idea that, you know, it's not just about the moisturizer you put on your skin, but it's about the mouthwash you use and the toothpaste and the nappy change cream that you put on a baby's bottom, you know, etc. And we try to make sure that they are reasonably priced, and we can do that. And again, this is one of the reasons that I'm really pleased that we're part of the B Corp movement, is that we can do that because we're owned by the two not-for-profit foundations of our founders.
I wanted to talk about that as well. So first of all, I have to say, when I met you, then I found out about Leda, and then I looked, and then I used the products, which were incredible. Like, it, they really, like, I really felt that, like, and I've been to the farm, obviously, the biodynamic farm down where you are, and that blew me away as well, just because of all the practices and everything you've been doing there. What was it, 85% of the UK ingredients are come from that farm, is that right?
For our medicines, yes, for our medicines. So we have because of legislation and the claims, you know, you have a cosmetic or you have a pharmaceutical product. So pharmaceuticals obviously are regulated licenses. So all of our medicines in the UK, we make here and we grow the plants. Yeah, 85% we grow.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just, I remember when you told me that and I was like, wow. But you feel it, like you feel it in the products. Like there's just something, you actually feel the plants like coming out. The products is a really amazing experience. But I love the fact that when I looked at the price point, I was like, wow, like that is so affordable. Like when you look at the moisturizer, you look at skin food, like, and I love that what Steiner's philosophy was effectively, was it, these are gifts from nature and they should be given to people, are accessible to everyone. So it's such a powerful thing in this day and age, especially with beauty brands and products that, you know, can vary, but can be very, very highly priced, that you can still have that quality and still have all the organic principles, all the biodynamic farming, have all those sustainability practices, and at the end offer an affordable price. Like, it's just incredible that you can do all of that.
The key thing is about what's the purpose of your business.
Yeah.
You know, the American economist Milton Friedman very famously said in the early 70s, the purpose of business is to make profit. Mm-hmm. And now we know that's not the case. You know, if you go back hundreds of 100 years plus, particularly the Quaker companies that we have in this country, you know, the Cadburys, it wasn't about just making money. It was about building community, having a really good product. And again, you know, we'll talk about B Corp, but that's, for me, is what is the purpose of your business? Why are you doing it? Money should be a byproduct. Money's not a bad thing. You have to make money. You're not sustainable if you don't, but it needs to be a byproduct, not the focus of the business. And I have to say, the beauty industry, sadly, is riddled by sham companies who mix chemicals with water, put them in plastic bottles, put them on the shelf, spend about 80% of their turnover in advertising telling you that you know you're not really good enough and you need to use this product, and a lot of the ingredients are not there for you, they're there to make money.
Yeah, I know.
And that's a big issue. And what I would say about Walida, again, because you know, I use Walida, and I said the universe told me to come, and I remember saying to my heart, gosh, imagine working for a company you didn't have to lie about. And I've never lied. Honestly, it has never disappointed me. It really hasn't. You know, as a marketeer, that's the world that you get locked in. How can I make somebody really want to buy this product? And the thing, the key thing for me, again, is it takes skin food, 1926 formula, unbelievable. We haven't changed it because why would we want to change it? It's a great product.
Yeah.
It's got five really simple ingredients and it's about dry skin. You use it and the aim is that your skin and your body will repair. It'll get back into balance because dry skin is an imbalance. We're not producing enough sebum in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is get the body's balance and the skin balance back in harmony so you can stop using the product. Simple.
It's not the reliance on it, and how can these products support you to rebalance everything,
like exactly
for your body to do naturally what it can do, you know?
Yes. So you know, for that you need everything you put on and in your body needs to be as close to natural as you can find.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of talk about ultra processed food. Well, the beauty industry is ultra processed. Just, you know, and I think about Anita Roddick and, you know, what she was trying to do, try to get the purest ingredients, try to get the ones that are compatible with your skin.
Yeah.
Use them when you need them. Use less, buy organic, buy better, because your money will be put to really good use. But we don't need to use 10, 12 products on our skin every day. We really don't. And, you know, I think about foundation, and I get foundation, and I'm not anti-foundation, but to wear foundation every day is like a mask, and it's stopping your skin breathing. And, you know, it's kind of like when I speak to women about, well, why do you wear thick foundation every day? Well, it's because my skin's not good. And it's like, well, get your skin right. And your skin is a reflection of what's going on the inside. It's your largest organ. So, you know, we really do need to unpick the knitting on how we built the beauty industry in the UK.
Definitely. And actually, we're going all around the place, but because we're talking about the beauty industry, I was going to talk to you or ask you about the B Corp Beauty Coalition, because that is a fantastic initiative that you are a part of, the leader's a part of. And what is it? How many brands now in the beauty industry that are B Corps?
I think at the last count it was 75, but you know what? It literally every week another one joins. And these are these are global companies, large and small, all B Corps, who are actively wanting to work together to make a significant change. And what I find fantastic is that there are many sectors now coming out of B Corp. As B Corp is growing and growing, and lots more companies are joining B Corp and going through that process. Some very large ones, household names. Maybe we'll talk about that. But what is fantastic is the beauty industry is, you know, I don't like how the beauty industry has become very much about money, but the people in the beauty industry are amazing. Absolutely love working with them. And it's a lovely industry to be part of as a career. It's huge. It's globally. And we don't really talk about it again as being a really great place to have a career. Meeting these people through the Be Beauty Coalition has just been fantastic. It was founded about 3 years ago and has just gone through a new iteration of a new board. And the whole new, because you need a lot of energy for this. You do it alongside your day job.
Especially like in co-creating with that amount of companies, like 75 beauty brands is a lot of people with, like, you know, good stakeholder management there.
and the kind of things we talk about, and we're open sourcing all of our work, is formulations and how we grow the best ingredients and you know, where to grow, logistics. Because actually shipping, and let's face it, we ship a lot of water around the world. You know, how can we do that in the best way? And literally having an open book and sharing, because we stand on each other's shoulders.
And that, I would love to home in on that, because if you think about that, and it'll probably go back to that whole profit at all costs. And I even find this whole, and it's never really sat with me, like, oh, they're a competitor and they're, and it's never really felt right to me, but you know, I was brought up in the corporate world where that was a big thing. It was like, oh, you know, you can't tell that to them. You know, everything was very scarce. Whereas I feel as if in the B Corp community, especially in the B Corp Beauty Coalition, this openness to share, like share IP, share how we've done it. And so what's your thoughts on that? It's more about obviously collaboration than and being competitors, but how do you see that playing out? So if all these 75 beauty brands are sharing all their sort of practices and principles and all that, how does that play out? Like, how do you feel that will go in the world?
Well, first of all, how strong is your purpose? If you're doing something that's unique to make a difference, why are you worried about the competition? Because you know, if you want to make a range of, let's say, baby products that will take brand share away from lots of other baby products, but you're doing it to make some money and so on. So you're very much a Me Too company. That's not, you're never going to become a B Corp. What is your uniqueness that you want to put in the world? And how are you going to manifest that? And, you know, we could talk about, there's many, many incredible brands that are totally purpose-driven. If you are bringing a purpose in, going, oh, I think we need to become a purpose-led company, so what's our purpose? Well, you haven't got one.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is that, as I said before, the beauty industry is huge. Mm. We are a multi-trillion-pound business globally, and we have to have some social responsibility. Mm. I said earlier, we take some fairly noxious chemicals, if I'm honest. We mix them with water. We put them in lots of plastic and we put them on the shelf. And it's very irresponsible, I think. So, you know, what's the impact of the health on your skin? So it was earlier this week that we heard that a particular very well-known acne brand has to be taken off the market because it has cancer-inducing chemicals in it. And we put in these on teenage skin.
Oh,
so again, if you're interested, Google it, look it up. Yes. The stories are out there. There is factual evidence now that we have been using a lot of endocrine disruptors. We're using a lot of plasticized formulations that are going out into our oceans that are causing a lot of havoc. So we have to have a social responsibility. So going back to the B Corp Beauty Coalition, you know, I mentioned about plastic. It is really hard to move away from plastic bottles for wet products because you need something that isn't going to contaminate your product. You want a product that's going to reach you in great condition.
Yeah.
But we all use different types of plastics. So we're just not helping ourselves at all. Yeah. And I go back to, you shouldn't, unless you're a Me Too brand where you are copying to make money, if you have a really strong purpose, I am doing this to make a difference in the world, and my difference is, then why are you worried? You know, we had a very well-known German supermarket copy skin food and actively put in the press release that they were copying skin food.
No.
And it's selling for, you know, I think like £5, £4, £5, and skin food is selling for 12. Yeah. Well, we bought it and it is just dreadful. I mean, the ingredients you would just not put on your skin.
Yeah.
But that's maybe something we should talk about, which is so, you know, they were doing it because they could see a very successful product. Yeah. They knew that they would get the column inches by saying, you know, we've made the same product but much, much cheaper. And of course they haven't. Just read the ingredients. That's a great thing about beauty. There's something called an INCI code, which is the recipe. And it tells you, it's a legal requirement on the back of your pack. It tells you what's in it. Mm-hmm. Now, it's usually in Latin names, but they're really easy to Google. There are an amazing apps that you can get. Beat the Microbead is a really good one, but there's loads where you just scan the barcode and you get a rating. Is this product green, amber or red, and what's in it? What do you need to know? Really easy, just to do a little bit of research, because we don't understand the power we have as consumers,
totally,
as citizens. So become a citizen and use your money and back the brands that have the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Know what you're buying, and that goes for food. Mention about ultra processed food. You know. Same as beauty, we are consuming a lot of crap. So just buy less, buy better, buy organic, and know that your form of activism is the pound you spend on milk. Buy organic, because you're telling the supermarkets organic's important.
Yeah.
And organic is only, 5% of the food business. It's about 10% of the beauty business.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need to become much more active. And quite frankly, we need to really consider what we spend and what we spend it on and where we spend it.
Definitely. And obviously, being a B Corp and having that B Corp stamp is a good way. Like, that's what I do now. Now that I'm educating, I help companies go through that process and I understand the depths of what companies do with their suppliers, and we can talk about what you do and like everything like that. Like, I now shop for that B because I know the whole rigor that's gone behind getting that certification. So I was curious because obviously we spoke about WLEDA. It's a massive organization. I know you don't think it is, but in terms of 2,000 people, 50 countries, 19 subsidiaries, I didn't even know that till today. Why, and you've got your 100-year heritage, like why did you decide as an organization to become a B Corp? And then what did that look like that journey? I mean, how long did it, just start from like why? Because I sort of look at WLEDA and I'm like, you're already being all of those things, why become a B Corp? Because B Corp is actually the same time you've been in WLEDA 16 years. It's only been around 16 years as a certification and a movement. So why with 100-year heritage, why when you've got all the things in place, would you still go for the B Corp certification?
I think three things. The first thing is, why wouldn't you? Yeah, okay, there's a lot of cost. And maybe we'll talk about the internal processes that you have to go through, but why wouldn't you want to be part of the community, particularly if you've been a pathfinder and you have 100 years of experience? Why wouldn't we want to share that? Why wouldn't we want to be, I don't mean at the front, but maybe behind everybody, saying you can run? Because there's a lot of talk, shareholders don't like green initiatives, all of this stuff, because there's a lot of talk about the fact that being green costs money. WLEDA is a really good example to show that no, you can be really successful and you can do good and be good and have great products and make a healthy profit. As I said, we wouldn't have been around for 100 years if we hadn't. We're not owned by the banks. We are an independent business, very, very successful independent business, and a household name is Switzerland and Germany. Mm. So first of all, why wouldn't you be part of that movement? Why wouldn't you want to support the movement? Mm. Secondly, I think it's really important to say, don't just take our word for it. Because no matter how good you think you are, you can always do better, because everything is on a journey and we're on a journey. So what I would say about WLEDA is we've always had a sustainability report as part of our annual report. I should say our financial report's always our sustainability report. So the two come together. Yeah. So you've got the people element of the business, you've got the financial element of the business, and you've got the nature side of the business. And you'll find that in all of our reports, and they're all online at WLEDA.com. So it's really important that you have third-party verification to say, don't just go on what this company says. And I would advocate that. I mean, particularly in beauty, there's so much greenwashing. So, look for certification, look for certified natural and organic products. And what B Corp gives you is certification that you are becoming a regenerative business. So you're moving towards circularity, that you've thought about how much you pay your people. There's all sorts of lenses through B Corp. The third thing is, so we want to be part of the movement. We want to show that we have a verification, that we don't just take us at our word. But the third thing is probably the most important, and this is the reason I think all companies should go through the B Corp process, even if you don't certify, is it's a great free framework to work through those questions. And as I said, we're all on a journey. If you think you're good, then you're just greenwashing. You're just kidding yourself. Because even WLEDA, we struggle to be. I think we worked out that our carbon gain was under 1.5 degrees. If the world operated like WLEDA, in 100 years' time, we would come in at a 1.5 degree rise. So we've got loads of work to do. So the framework is fantastic. Yeah. One of our biggest issues is, how you ship the product around the world and how you use the product, because it's a big carbon footprint to using beauty products. It's to do with the water and all that. Yeah, so the framework's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of bad press at the moment for B Corp with some of the really big brands coming in. Mm-hmm. And, Nespresso is one, but there's many others I could name, saying it's devaluing the B Corp certification. I'm like, well, is it really? if they have gone through the full certification process, and I know how hard it is. You mentioned we have 19 subsidiaries. We have 19 companies within Weleda. We had to get all of them over the line. And when you've been doing things for 100 years, and things like we weren't documenting all of our community work. Because yeah. no, we just why do we need to do that? Well, you need to do it as part of the process.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. So a lot of it is about documentation. And if large brands tick all the boxes, then they're on the journey. The thing about B Corp is it's transparent. You can see companies' score. So, you know, if you're scoring 80, the 3 years on, you want to be scoring 90 or 100. And the other thing is, of course, the B Corp standards are being ratcheted up. They need to be ratcheted up. So you can see what their score is, and you can see how they're targeting and how they're improving. So it's a fantastic system. And what I really love about it is it's open source. You don't have to certify to go through the process.
Yeah, I know.
It's there. And through the B Corp Beauty Coalition, the work we've been doing is also open source. So if you want to hear how, I think it wasn't all 70-odd companies, but say, you know, the top companies are trying to green their logistics, their global logistics, it's there. Mm-hmm. You can read about it. So in answer to your question, it's not why would you become a B Corp? I just think, why wouldn't you become a B Corp?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I feel as if there's so much more I want to talk about, but I feel I'm looking at time. I think we've been chatting for about 35 minutes, but I want to, I think we've covered off most of the things I wanted to ask. Is there anything else you just feel that you would like to share? Like whether, you know, there's different people listening to this, there's businesses, there's conscious consumers, there's people that don't even understand that term. Like you've done a great job in actually empowering people, I'd say today, around how they buy and you know, being more empowered in that place. But is there anything else you just feel as if you need to share about the B Corp movement, about Weleda, about anything? What do you feel people need to hear right now?
I think you nailed it actually with the term consciousness. We go through life on autopilot a lot of the time. And for me, life's actually about trying to put the biggest pause between the trigger and the response. You know, great example for me, and it happens, hits me every day, 4 o'clock, I'm shattered. Usually because I haven't had a break, I haven't been out, I haven't had some fresh air, I haven't been out for a walk and so on. So my trigger is I'm exhausted, I need caffeine and chocolate.
Yeah.
And, you know, the better me is like, do you really? I think you need a break and just go for a walk. But the trigger and the response is you know, what life's about. So, you know, we have a slow brain and a fast brain. And our fast brain is just instinctive. It's like, this is what we're going to do. And our slow brain is going, just stop a moment. Let's just think. So if we could just develop a consciousness of pausing before we act in everything we do, I think we'll make better decisions. I think we'll be healthier. I think we will, Jane, you'll stop eating the chocolate. And by that, I mean, don't just reach for something that you've seen an advert for. Don't just think that you have to have the latest. It's fine if you want it, but, you know, just have that. Am I going to spend my money on this? Because money's finite. And as I said, when you spend your money, you're making a form of activism. You're making a conscious statement. And it can be something super simple because we're all really, really, really busy. But just, I heard a great podcast the other day where the interviewee was saying, I just have like 3 rules and they're my rules and I never cross them. And I was like, that's really good. So instead of kind of beating yourself up and trying to do 20 things, And you know, one of his rules was, I have a set bedtime. And I'm like, wow, God, don't we make life really complicated? Isn't life complicated enough?
Yeah.
So just consciousness and also consciousness in business as well. because I've already talked about the kind of patriarchal, hierarchical way of running a business. And at the end of the day, a business is an organism of people who yeah. all really know what they're doing. And nature doesn't have that power hierarchy. Nature just gets on and does it. Look at a beehive. Like, be more beehive, be more conscious. I think that's what I would say. And think before you do. Think before you act.
Beautiful. What a way to end. I've got goosebumps all over me. That was just phenomenal, Jane. Honestly, I could listen to you all day. I think you've got such deep wisdom, and I can see how you coming to Walida is coming home, because you're so aligned to the philosophies and the values and the principles. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I know that people will get so much value from this, more than they ever thought, to be honest. So thank you. Thank you for your time.
Oh, Michelle. Every minute spent with you is just wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for asking me.
Pleasure. See you all soon, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Remember, download the Yoga Nidra right after this episode. Make sure you have a listen. It's the most beautiful guided meditation that will regenerate your mind, your body, and your soul. Take care. See you soon.